السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم اما بعد بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم We are busy now on page number 54 of this kitab called A Gift to the Bride which was compiled by مولانا محمد حنیف عبد المجید and it is translated by مفتی افضل حسین الیاس اللہ پاک bless the both of them Grant them jazai khair. So khair, on this page, there is the advice of a pious father to his daughter to be married. The daughter is getting married and the father is giving advice to the daughter. The above ahadith outline the characteristics of a good wife. They may be translated in the following. A good wife gives her all for her husband. Her happiness is when her husband is happy. She is prepared to sacrifice her spirit, her ambitions, her desires, and her comfort for her husband. She regards herself as a wife and a slave. For the sake of her husband, she regards disgrace as honor and a bed of thorns as a bed of flowers. Listen well, O my innocent daughter. You will soon be a new bride and a daughter-in-law. You are entering a new phase in your life. Until now, you have been playing and eating and sleeping without a worry. You were happy and laughing all the time. Things will be changing now. You will now have responsibilities and you will be living under a new rule. Until now, you have been living for yourself. From tomorrow, you will be serving others. The one who was the charm of people's eyes and who grew up in a cradle of hopes will now be handed over in the service of others. Listen to the words. Listen to the words carefully. You see, today's girls are thinking they getting married so that they can be served. Because they're reading all these Mulls and Boons and they're reading all these novels now. The knight came in shining armor and swept her away and she lived happily ever after. From grade R, she's reading Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. She's reading Cinderella and all these things. So that is her perception of marriage. That once, I mentioned this before to you girls, I think in the first year, that one of the major problems is that you see in all these novels and all that, they haven't got their, no, there's nappy bags. After you finish change, the baby's nappy, then the baby will make another poo, right? Then your husband will be screaming from that side, come on, it's time to go, I'm getting late. And all those things are not written in the Mulls and Boons. So these girls are reading all these novels here, and that is their perception of marriage. That no, my knight is going to come in shining armor, and he's going to sweep me off my feet, and then I'm going to be living happily ever after. No, the day you're getting married, that is the day you're getting your certificate to make khidmat of other people. You are going to serve others. That is what marriage is. That is what she must think. That now I'm going to have to serve my husband. Now I've got two sets of parents to serve. Just now I'm going to have children of my own that I'm going to have to serve. My life has to be one selfless sacrifice. Right? Remember that whatever good or bad happens will be for that day. Take things, now we're continuing with the advice of the father. Take things a step at a time. You will need to restrain yourself because the journey ahead is not going to be an easy one. The responsibilities will be difficult. But O Muslimah, remember that the rewards and glad tidings are also tremendous. Ma Umme Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates from the one who was sent as a mercy to the universe, yani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What she narrates, the woman who passes every stage of her life and finally reaches the final stage, that means her maut, while her husband is pleased with her, she will surely enter Jannah. It is as if there is no barrier between Jannah and her. Dear daughter, even the worst difficulties of life are temporary. Keep the final stage of life in front of you and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will turn every thorn into a flower and every stone into water. What wonderful advices, beautiful advices the father is giving to his daughter. So we must keep these things in mind, bear in mind that it's not a fairy tale. It's not a fairy tale. Nobody said it's going to be without sacrifices. And you know what's the main thing? You see what was mentioned here in the first paragraph. Go back to the first paragraph. Her happiness is when her husband is happy. She is prepared to sacrifice her spirit, her ambitions, her desires, her comfort, everything for her husband. She regards herself as a wife and a slave. For the sake of her husband, she regards disgrace as honor and a bed of thorns as a bed of flowers. Right? Now all those things that are mentioned there in that first paragraph. Now generally, if someone has to adopt this type of attitude, right, and sacrifice everything for another, then we would expect that the person for whom everything is being sacrificed, that person will now really love this person, care for this person, be the most kind and generous towards this person. Right? That is what we would expect. Now you know, because we deal with the cases I'm telling you, right? You hear the wife, she say, no, Maulana. Initially when I came into the marriage, I tried my level best. I made him happy in every way. I used to cook. I used to take care of his parents. I used to do this. I used to do that. But you know, Maulana, I didn't even get a thank you in return. The only thing he can do is complain. The only thing he can do is shout. The only thing he can do is find fault. So now I got fed up. I have now built this concrete wall around me. And now me also now, I also take off. When he shouts me, I shout him back. Right? Now listen carefully. Open your ears very, very wide and listen to what I'm saying to you. I'm repeating this many times, that the khidmat you're making for your husband, you're making it for your husband, you're making it for your children, you're making it for your in-laws. But the reason you're making it is to make Allah happy. You're making it for them, but the reason you're doing it is to make Allah happy. So now whether you get a thank you, whether you don't get any thank yous, right? Whether he appreciates, whether he doesn't appreciate, that's his problem. If he appreciates, he will be rewarded. Allah will reward him. If he doesn't appreciate, he is depriving himself of reward. That's not your problem. You know your reward is secured by Allah. So why do you have to lament? Why do you have to get frustrated? Right? I know we are all humans. We got hearts. We don't have stones. We take offense. We feel bad. We feel sad. We get mad. Right? All that is there. But the golden rule is keep the akhirat in front of you. Keep the akhirat in front of you. If you got the akhirat in front of you, then as is mentioned in this last line, every thorn will turn into a flower, every stone will turn into water. Because you got the akhirat in front of you. You are striving for your jannat. Right? Let us continue. The personality of Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi ta'ala needs no introduction. He is regarded by many as the fifth after the four Khulafa'i Rashidin. Right? He was in his zamana, although he came long after Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, but in his zamana he brought back such an environment like it was in the time of the first four Khulafa'i Rashidin, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. In fact, some people even call him Umar the Second. That he was like the second Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Now his wife, Hazrat Fatima bint Abdul Malik rahmatullahi alayha, has mentioned that although there may be others who performed more salah and more wudu than Umar bin Abdul Aziz. In other words, there may be other people who made more nafal ibadat. But she has never seen anyone who feared Allah Ta'ala more than him. He used to remain on the musalla after the Isha Salah and continue making dua and weeping until sleep overcame him. When he awoke, he used to continue in this manner the entire night. His wife was the daughter of the famous king Abdul Malik. Abdul Malik was a famous king of that time. Among the fortune of jewelry that her father had given her was a necklace that no other woman possessed. It was a unique necklace. No other lady ever possessed it. When Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi became the Khalifa, he gave his wife the choice. He said, look, either you separate from me or you deposit all your jewelry in the public treasury, because I dislike living in a house where there is so much wealth. Today, the wife will throw a tantrum with the husband, right? Because the husband don't want to make the kitchen in a certain way, or don't want to make the bedroom in a certain way, or don't want to make the lounge in a certain way, or don't want to make the toilet in a certain way, although he's going to be using his own money. He's going to be using his own money, but he doesn't want to use his money to make things look too luxurious and too much dunya, because he doesn't want the love of the dunya to come in his heart. Right? Or he is thinking that we are going to spend so much of money, we're going to get into debt. What's the sense? Or he's thinking, you know what, even if we got the money, why spend so much money on a toilet when there are 12 million people going to bed starving every night in our country alone? Right? So he doesn't want to do this. Now the wife will fuss, she'll pull up her face. There's arguments, there's fightings. Right? All fights and all that. Right? Now, listen to this. This is her own. This jewelry is not what her husband bought for her. It's her own jewelry, what she came with. It's her own wealth, what she came with. Her husband is telling her, look, if we're going to remain happily married in this house, then I need you to sacrifice all this wealth of yours. Right? All your jewelry, all this. You need to sacrifice it, because I don't like living in a house where there's so much of jewelry and so much of wealth. She replied, what is the worth of all these treasures? I shall never part from you in exchange for even more than this. She said, what is all this jewelry? Although she had unique jewelry, custom made, only for her. No other woman had jewelry like her. She was the princess. She was the princess. Her father didn't just own one or two oil wells. She was the princess. So what she must have come with? But she's saying, what is all this jewelry? Even if I had more than this, I would sacrifice all of this to remain with you. All her jewelry was then deposited in the state treasury for the benefit of the masses. The people take it, sell it, take the money and assist the people. Here was a woman whose father, grandfather, brother and husband were all kings. All were kings. Despite growing up in the lap of luxury, she was prepared to forsake everything to please her husband. Her sacrifices were so great that the pages of history still mention her name, and she will always remain a role model for all women. Right? These women that make the covers of the glossy magazines, they think that they are models. If they have died without iman, then they are modeling away in Jahannam. Allah Pak knows best. Right? Allah Pak save us and protect us. Right? These are the real models. These people with taqwa who sacrificed for the sake of deen. After the demise of her husband, her brother Yazid became king. Her brother Yazid became the king. He told his sister that, look, I can return all your jewelry to you if it will make you happy. I mean, your husband told you must give all the jewelry away. They put it in the public treasury. I'm the king now. Your husband has passed away. I'm now the king. This is her own brother now. He said, look, I can give you all your jewelry back, man. She said, I was not happy with it during my husband's lifetime. How can it bring me any pleasure now? With this sentence, she expressed her sincere loyalty by not doing anything that would displease him even after his demise. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make all Muslim wives loyal and obedient to their husbands. Ameen. Right. We now come to the demise of Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha remained in Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wedlock for 25 years, from the age of 40, right, to the age of 65. She passed away in Ramadan Sharif, 10 years after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced his nubuwat, which was 3 years before the hijrah. She was then 64 years old, so it's probably a few months before she turned 65. Because the janaza salah was not ordained at that time. At that time there was no janaza salah. There wasn't even faraz jamaat salah in the masajid, etc. It was still the early days in the Makkan period. So there was no janaza salah at that time. So no janaza salah took place. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself lowered the body of his companion, advisor and aide into the qabr. That was his wife. She was his companion, she was his advisor, and she was also his aide, his assistant. He himself lowered her into the qabr. Now remember that under normal circumstances, the mahram, right, of the lady will lower her into the qabr. If there are mahrams like her father, her brother, her mamaji, you know, like mother's brothers, etc., sons that are around, then the husband will not lower her body into the grave. Those mahrams will lower her body into the qabr. But this was now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The moment was so heart-rending that no pen can describe. In carrying out his tremendous task of propagating Islam, Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha had always been invaluable to him. She would console him in his distress, advise him when he needed advice, and sacrifice everything she had for him. An innumerable amount of stones and pebbles break off from mountains and hills. Without any regard for them, people and animals merely trample on them. If one of these stones has to become a ruby or a diamond, more precious than the kingdoms of the world, how distressed will one become if it has to be destroyed? The number of raindrops falling on the ocean every year is also countless. From all of these, one enters an open oyster and is transformed into a priceless pearl which is worthy of being set in the crown of a king. If someone casts this pearl back into the ocean, one cannot imagine the grief it will cause to those who realize its value. The leaves, roots and plants of the wild are also plenty for animals to feed on. If among these there is an extremely rare and delicate rose that can produce a most exquisite perfume, one cannot imagine the loss to mankind if this rose falls prey to harsh weather and wilts away. Spiritually, time is neither measured by man's calendar nor by the earth's orbit around the sun. The appointed time for a soul to return to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is when it has perfected itself. There is therefore no necessity to grieve excessively when a person leaves this world. To Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala do we belong, and to Him shall we all return. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself declared the year in which Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away as the year of grief. Although Allama Sayyid Suleiman Nadvi rahmatullah alayhi was not a poet, he wrote the following couplet in memory of his wife, to whom he was much attached. What did he write? He said, upon your departure, it appeared as if time would be thrown into chaos. It is strange that the last day did not end time when you left. In other words, say like after you are gone, the whole roop of this dunya, the whole light of my life, everything has now disappeared. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make our girls and women like Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, Grant them her pure habits, her character, her chastity, her love, her obedience, her concern for the akhirah, her taqwa and her loyalty. O Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, make the pure personality of Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha common among the new generation of Muslims. Grant us all the ability to do as she did. O Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, fill her qabr with peace and tranquility and elevate her stages abundantly. Grant her the best of rewards on our behalf. Ameen. Every Muslim sends salutations of peace to Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, the first believer of this ummah and the first mother of the mu'mineen. And the honored lady who received greetings of peace from none other than the Rabb of the universe. There is a lesson for Muslims in every detail of her pure life. By following her noble example, خَيْرُ مَتَاعِ الدُّنْيَا, every wife can become the delight of her husband's eyes and the most precious thing for him in this world. لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا, she will then become a source of solace and comfort for him. لِتَسْكُنُ إِلَيْهَا, thus fulfill the purpose of her creation. Therefore, every wife should sincerely try to follow her example and make the following dua after every salah. O Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, grant me the same akhlaq, understanding, obedience and self-sacrifice that you blessed my mother, Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha with. Also bless my daughters, sisters and all Muslim women with the same sterling qualities. Ameen. This dua should be made as often as possible. If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accepts this dua, one will be the most fortunate person both in terms of this dunya and in terms of the akhirah. Ma Umme Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha has narrated that she heard Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, أَيُّمَ امْرَأَةٍ مَاتَتْ وَزَوْجُهَا عَنْهَا رَادٍ دَخَلَتِ الْجَنَّةِ, the woman whose husband was pleased with her when she passed away, she will enter Jannah. Can a woman have any desire greater than that she should be Allah Ta'ala's guest in Jannah? This is the ultimate aspiration. Allah Ta'ala declares in His Quran Sharif, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز. The meaning is, so whoever has been kept away from the fire and admitted into paradise has really succeeded. One should constantly ponder over this hadith and Quranic ayat. By doing so, it will become easy for one to carry out the responsibilities of being a good wife and a good daughter-in-law. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will then assist one every step of the way. You may say that everything being said seems biased. The girl may say, but everything is biased. Everything is only for the benefit of the man. Everything said thus far is definitely directed at women because they are being addressed in this book. Men have a separate set of responsibilities. When a woman fulfills her responsibilities, her husband will automatically discharge his. The advices to men have been published in a separate book titled Gift to a Husband. So there will be advices given to the men, how they are supposed to behave, etc. Here this kitab is specifically for women. Life with one's in-laws can really be difficult. While the insults of a mother-in-law cut the heart more effectively than a knife through butter, the presence of the husband's elder and younger sisters can be a terrible nuisance. The husband's affection towards his wife often seems to cause hurt to his sisters for no good reason whatsoever. What makes all of this unbearable is when the husband is ill-tempered. However, patience will soon win the day. You got to react with love and patience and wisdom. Initially, you will find it very difficult. But you don't fight fire with fire. Don't fight fire with fire. You fight fire with love. The burning fire of hatred is extinguished with the cool fire of love. The Ummah has been shown the examples of exemplary wives like Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha and Ma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. keeping their lives in mind, every Muslim wife should also not forget the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said that nothing can stop her from Jannah if she passes away when her husband is pleased with her. Keep this Hadith Sharif in mind at all times and every bitterness will be sweet. The thorns that people throw at you will then seem like rose petals, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will be your protector and assistant. May Allah Ta'ala save every Muslimah woman from the bane of a temperamental husband and inconsiderate mothers and sister-in-laws. Ameen. We will now discuss the exemplary life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's second wife, Ma Sauda bint Zam'a radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Before reading, one should make dua to Allah Ta'ala to make one like her. Right? Ameen. So inshallah, in the next period we will continue. We have taken a few lessons now from the life of Ma Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and now we learn from the life of Ma Sauda bint Zam'a radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Just on this point, the mother-in-law's insults can cut more effectively like a hot knife through butter, right? Then you got the sister-in-laws, right? They now sometimes are a nuisance. They making, you know, causing trouble here and there. Now look, I think it was yesterday or the day before, we had discussed that the sawab that this woman is going to get is like a mujahid who has attained martyrdom in the battlefield. Right? So, if you are in a situation, Allah Pak protect each and every one of you, Allah Pak bless you all with the best of mother-in-laws. But if you are in a situation where the mother-in-law is that type, then you must just think of the battlefield. When she insulted, right, you just think, alright, there's one arrow came now. Never mind, I'm getting sawab of being on the battlefield. I want to make jihad. So, khair. No, another arrow came, right? Another insult. Okay, that was a slice from the sword. Never mind, I'm getting sawab of the battlefield. I'm a mujahida in the battlefield. Right? Then it will make it easier to bear. And the other thing is, look. You see, sometimes we take things too much to heart. Right? You see, your mother will tell you the same thing. Your mother will shout you. In fact, maybe your mother will shout you even worse. Right? But you won't take offense because it's your mother. Right? But now, because you went into marriage considering your mother-in-law as an outsider. Right? She's my mother-in-law. She got nothing to do with me. She got no authority over me. So now, if she tells you something, for example, you went home now, you tried to make one roti, right? You tried to make one roti. You wasted the ghee. Your roti came out oblong. Right? On top of it, you burnt couple. Now when your mother comes there, she... To whom karech? In Gujarati, if your mother is Gujarati speak, what are you doing? You know, you think this ghee is 1 and 2 cents. You know, this morning I made the dough. Now you go to make the chero, the roti. And look at what you've done now. You caused a disaster here in the kitchen. When your father comes to eat, hey, who made this rubber rotis here now? Right? Now, you'll feel a little bit bad, but after a couple hours, it's all forgotten because it's mummy and daddy. Right? Now, if your mother-in-law just has to tell you, hey, you didn't learn how to make rotis. Now, she is telling you maybe 1/5 of what your mother told you. But because it's coming from your mother-in-law, now finish. You are fussed up, pulled up. Your husband comes home in the night. I'm sick and tired of your mother and her insults. I want a place of my own now. I'm moving out. You make up your mind. If you can't do anything, I'm going to my mother's house. You decide whether you want me or you want your mother. Are they? What did she tell you? What did she tell you? She is also a mother to you. So treat her as a mother, then you won't feel too bad. But when you're going to treat her as an outsider, she got no authority in my life. Who's she? She's not my mother. Then everything is going to become a problem. Understand? Your sisters also, sisters amongst themselves, they keep having their arguments and their fightings and everything carries on, their quarrels and everything. Right? Among siblings. You have sibling rivalry. But because your own sister, your own brother, right, everything is overlooked. But now if your sister-in-law was having a bad day and she just said something, now finish. We are pulled up. Who's she? She comes here, I must cook and feed, and then she comes here and then she wants to have a big mouth with me. If your sister comes home and says, hey, you know what, I need to go shopping, man, can you keep the children? Now you'll keep your nephews and your nieces and change their nappy and bath them. In fact, when your sister phones you in the morning to tell you she's going, yeah, no problem, bring them. You know what you do? Bring their pajamas also. So if you're late, I'll bath them and put them in pajamas and everything, and then you can take them home. But if your sister-in-law comes and tells you, what they think, I'm a nanny here? Do they think I'm a nanny? So, we must also, I'm not saying that all mother-in-laws and sister-in-laws, you get the problems, but sometimes we overreact also. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawfiq, inshallah we continue in the next period. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليه السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته